chapter 1, verse 6. I'll do two little readings. One's from a couple of weeks ago that ties in this series. And then there's a verse that particularly is the kind of climax of today. Okay? So John chapter 1 from verse 6. You can just see it on the screen here if you don't have a Bible with you. And I'll be reading for us from the ESV. John 1 from verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then the next little one is from John chapter 8, just one verse, verse 12. There it is. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. Well, it is really this celebration today of the Day of Glory, and hopefully as we just spend a little time looking at John's Gospel, and particularly that last verse there, we're going to see more clearly why it is such a day of glory, why it is a day like no other day ever before it and ever since after it. I wonder when you were a little kid if you remember being afraid of the dark. I certainly do. I can remember not wanting Dad to turn the light off when I went to bed. In fact, I can remember very strongly not wanting Dad to turn the light off when I went to bed. In fact, because I was especially concerned about what might be under my bed. I thought, don't ask me why, I think I've got a bit of an idea, I thought there could have even been a wolf under my bed. Not sure if it had anything to do with my parents sitting me down and reading me those lovely children's stories like The Boy Who Cried Wolf or Little Red Riding Hood. Could have been. I'm fine now though. I'm reasonably well adjusted at 54. I can go to bed no problem at all. Although we do have a double ensemble, so there's not much room under there for anything to get under there, so maybe that's why. But I do remember what I wanted most as a kid at that point when I was a smaller version of me. I wanted light because it made me feel safe and it dispelled the darkness. The only thing I definitely didn't want was to be in or engulfed by darkness. As we come together today and celebrate the birth of Jesus, this is actually one of the ways the Bible pictures it. Using the realities of darkness and light to describe what God was doing in sending Jesus into the world. To help us grasp the magnitude or the breathtaking grace of God in the coming of Jesus into the world. Some 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus in this way. He said, those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This is Isaiah 9 and verse 2. And notice just a few verses later in verse 6, it actually tells you and helps you understand or unpacks what this great light is that people are going to see. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't know whether you remember the angel, but he kind of used language like that. He said, to you, unto you, this day is born, echoes from Isaiah 9. Here in John 8, Jesus makes this remarkable claim about himself when he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does he mean? Sounds nice, but what does he mean? In what way is he the light of the world? And what is this darkness that he's talking about? And what does following him have to do with light and darkness? Well, some things I want us to notice just briefly this morning that we discover about light and darkness and about Jesus himself. Firstly, darkness is actually where we land in turning away from God. Darkness is where we land when we turn away from God. Jesus is clear as he steps into the world that he has made, that the world that he has made is not as it should be. We also, I think if we're honest, know deep down, don't we, that the world is not as it should be. To use Jesus' terminology, the world is in darkness, and people like you and me, without God, are walking in darkness. Does he mean someone's turned the lights off, like my dad used to? No. That's not what he means. The people in Isaiah that he spoke of, walking in darkness, are the people of Israel. They are the people who are in special covenant relationship with God. But they are also the people who had broken their special covenant relationship with God. They had turned away from him. They had rebelled against his kindness and his goodness towards them. They had transgressed his covenant again and again and again. These same people had refused to listen to prophets that God had sent to them and through whom God was pleading with them to come back to him. They'd refused to listen to those prophets, and as a consequence, they were under God's judgment. That's what Isaiah was saying when he said the people are walking in darkness. And that's precisely what Jesus is saying here, but on a much broader scale, right? He is the light of the world, and so the whole world is in darkness. And it makes sense. What Israel has done is actually precisely what we have all done. We've all rejected God. We've all failed to appreciate the goodness and kindness of God. We've all sought to run our lives our own way without God, apart from God, with no recognition of God. And so we have all offended God. There's none of us that's immune or that's not in that particular predicament. And that's actually what the Bible calls sin. We often get that kind of muddled up, this idea of sin. Turning away from God, refusing to honour God, is what the Bible describes as sin. We often think it's, you know, about a few bad things we might do, and all we've got to do is maybe balance up the ledger. You know, do a few bad things, do a few good things, and kind of, you know, get the scales tipping this way. No, no, no. Sin is primarily and fundamentally about how we, as people made by God and made for God and made in the image of God, have treated him. And we've all done this. And not just once, but if we're really honest, almost continually, daily. And friends, this sin actually separates us from God. It plunges us into darkness, separating us from the light of God's presence. It separates us from the life of God himself, and so death is actually a reality for us. And one of the most unsettling things about this kind of bad news part is this. We are not able to break free from it, from this darkness that we're in because of our sin. Deep down, we know it too. We might try, but we never succeed. God knows it, that we can't break free from it too. It's a big problem for us because of our sin, the darkness we find ourselves in. Darkness is where we land when we turn away from God. I don't know if you ever heard the story of the the guy who went hiking, and I don't exactly know how it happened, but he ended up pinned on the ground under a massive, massive boulder, hundreds of kilos. Absolutely no possible way that he was going to break free from that boulder. So he took out his camping knife and proceeded to gradually leave his arm behind to break free from where he was. Now, that's pretty drastic. You would say if you saw him there initially, you're never going to get out of there. Well, he took some drastic steps and he did get out of there and he did survive. But this darkness that's spoken of here, no matter what drastic steps you take, you cannot free yourself from it. No matter how much you struggle, you cannot break free of it. Darkness is where we land. But that's where the good news of Christmas comes in. God has done something about it. God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. He has sent Jesus to do something about it. That's what the angels said. And that's why the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy. Someone is coming to set you free. Someone is coming to save you. So that's the second thing we see this morning. Light and life is what we receive when we turn to and follow Jesus. That's what he says, right? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever turns to me, whoever comes to me, whoever puts their hope in me and trust in me will what? Not walk in darkness. That'd be enough. Okay? I'm out of darkness now. That'd be good enough. But it's more than that. But we'll have the light of life. Now, it's interesting where Jesus makes this claim. He's at this massive annual Jewish festival called the Festival of Lights. And this festival, all the people came together to celebrate the great salvation of God of their lives. And part of it is this is in Jerusalem. Part of it is they had these massive burning lights on the four corners of the city that lit up the whole city. And Jesus stands up in the middle of that and says, I am the light, not of Jerusalem. I am the light of the world. He says it to these people who are celebrating the Festival of Lights. These are people who have sung Psalm 27 verse 1 again and again and again, because that's what they did with Psalms, right? They sung them. What does it say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? These are the same people who knew 700 years before Jesus that God spoke about someone he would send called the servant of the Lord, and he'd said this about that person, I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is, if anyone turns to me and places their faith in me, if anyone follows me and trusts in me, they will experience God's rescue. They will experience God's salvation through him who is the light of the world. The classic carol that we're going to sing to finish our time together this morning puts it this way. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Oh my goodness, this one has come to save us. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Friends, when Jesus came into the world, a new day dawned. It is a day of glory. When he came into the world, this Saviour, a new day dawned, a day of God's salvation. But the question we also must ask this morning is this. How did Jesus do it? How does he bring us light and life? How does he deal with our darkness and our death? And the answer to that will leave us stunned on the one hand and filled with wonder on the other. Because Jesus takes our darkness and death to bring us light and life. Jesus takes our darkness and death in order to bring us light and life. Just a few chapters earlier in this same gospel, Jesus said this: "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him or follows him may have eternal life." Now, to be lifted up in Jesus' day didn't mean to be honored or revered or celebrated. It actually meant to be crucified. Everybody knew that. You didn't want anybody to say to you, "Oh, you're going to be lifted up on Friday." Jesus says the Son of Man must be lifted up. Notice that little word "must." It's an important, critical word. What it tells you is that for Jesus, he understands it is necessary. It must happen that Jesus be lifted up and crucified. It is part of God's plan that it should happen and that it does happen in order to bring salvation to us. And so when Jesus is lifted up on a cross, and you can see that by reading any of the Gospels towards the end, one of the things you'll notice, well, you'll notice a whole bunch of things, some remarkable things that happen around him being lifted up. But here's just two of them. We're told that darkness came over the whole land in the middle of the day while Jesus was lifted up. Darkness came over the whole land for 3 hours. And during that time, or towards the end of that time, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What's that? What's going on there? Here's Jesus speaking to the Father, God the Son, on the cross, being crucified, speaking to God the Father and saying, "Why have you forsaken me? Why am I feeling separated from you?" The reason is clear. He is being separated from the Father because of sin's consequences and punishment. But they're not his sins. He didn't have any. He is the spotless, sinless Son of God. They're your sins. And they're my sins that lead to him making that cry of separation from the Father. At the end of that time, he said something else that's quite remarkable. He cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." And we're told he breathed up his last breath at that point. It's finished. The payment for sins has been paid. It's done. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead to bring light and life to the world. Light and life to you and me. That's the good news of Christmas. That today, back then, that day, in the town of David, was born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is the one who is the light of the world. And make sure you don't miss it. Don't miss this, friends. The light of the world shone most brightly on the world's darkest day. When we crucified our God and Saviour, who he was and what he's like shone most brightly that day, as he allowed that to happen because it must happen, so that whoever, that's us, believes in him, follows him, trusts in him, turns to him, may have eternal life. Now, one of the things that you may or may not be aware of that's happened in the last few months is that the real estate property market has gone absolutely gangbusters. Maybe you've decided you're going to put your house on the market. I don't know whether you are or not. Maybe you're going to sit and see what happens, but nevertheless, which means when the real estate market goes gangbusters, something else happens. Auctions come back into play again. because there's people competing for the same property, so auctions are not a bad thing to do. But I've discovered there's some rules about auctions that you need to know and have in place if you're going to participate in one. Because those auctioneers, they are very skilled at working the crowd. And that just could be you, and you could end up, you know, spending more than you wanted to spend. And they're the rules. Apparently, rule 4 of auctions is this: bid firmly up to your limit, then stop. And rule 5, never, ever, ever break rule 4. The point is, there's a certain price that you reach that you're not prepared to pay. Jesus comes into the world to set us free from darkness, to bring us light and life. The price of that freedom, though, is incredibly costly. What's Jesus' limit? What is the most he will pay for you and for me? Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. I don't think Jesus followed rule 4 or rule 5. There I am, enslaved to darkness and death because of my sin. There I am, unable to free myself, desperately needing light to shine in the dark. Here comes Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the source of all light and life. And why has he come? What has he come to do? What will it mean for him? He has come because God the Father has sent him. What has he come to do? He has come to rescue or save those who are in darkness. What will that mean for him? He will be lifted up on a cross, and darkness will be his overwhelming experience. Death will come to him, the one who gives all life. And in doing so, he will set us free if we turn to him. That's the good news of great joy that the angels were so worked up about. It's worth celebrating, isn't it? That's what we want to celebrate today. I mean, what do you say to someone who does that for you? I don't know whether there are words you can kind of call on that match what he's done. What do you say to the God who is your maker who has done that for you? Friends, we're not here today to give each other, I don't know, a bunch of things that we should do. A list of, you know, ways we can improve our life in 2021. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here to rejoice in what the light of the world has done. We're here to encourage one another to follow him. To follow him, not to drift from him, but to follow hard after him. To come to him daily, regularly, and experience light and life. We're here to remind each other that light and life has come through him. And you and I can know it, experience it through following this one who is the light of the world. Please join me as I just pray briefly as we've thought about these things together before we sing again. Father, we thank you this morning for the good news of great joy that was announced on that day. That on that day a Saviour was born, who is Christ the Lord. And those to whom it was initially announced probably really didn't have much of an idea what that would mean for him and for them. But Lord, we have the rest of the story in your scriptures. You have not left us in the dark about what it means for Jesus to save us, what it means for us to be in darkness because of our turning away from you, but also what it means for you to pursue us and come after us in love and grace through your Son Jesus. Lord, help us to rejoice today in this good news of great joy. Help us to recognize it as a day of glory and have a sense of awe about it as we head into the day, wherever we're going, whether it's family or friends, or perhaps in some cases we're just by ourselves. Thank you that you are with us, though. Pray that you would lift our eyes above kind of the busyness and all the tinsel and everything else to see your glory and your kindness and your love in Jesus this morning. May there be a note of joy in us today because you are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. And we can follow you, not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We ask this in your name.